The other thing I'm grateful for is this incredible sermon series that we have been walking through in the month of October. It's been called A Disciple's Path, and it's based on a book by a United Methodist pastor named Jim Harnish, who serves a church called Hyde Park United Methodist in Florida. This is a church that has figured out how to help people who are new to the church get plugged into the church and become members and serving members, and then folks who can help mentor and lead others into relationships with Jesus Christ. They figured out how to do that really well, and so Jim wrote a book about it and is trying to help other churches figure out how to do that as well. This is the last time you'll hear me preach about A Disciple's Path, and next week we will close out the sermon series in the sanctuary at 11 a.m., and we'll actually get to hear Jim Harnish himself preach the last week on witness. So I really encourage you to continue to listen with me as we go through this week, and then come back next week to hear Dr. Harnish preach on witness. So today we're talking about serving and how we serve using the gifts that God has given us. And I want to read from you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Same gifts, same Lord, same God who activates them in everyone. So we know, I think, that service is integral to everything we do and say as disciples of Jesus Christ. We are to be Christ's hands and feet. We are to be Christ's ambassadors and conduits and representatives in the world. We are to reflect His life, His example, His love in everything that we do and say. It's easier said than done most days, I think, but when it gets down to it, we believe here at St. Paul's United Methodist that everyone can offer something unique to meet the needs of the church and the hurting world in which we live. And what that means is that we are all partners in this work of building the kingdom of God on earth. So today, the question I'm going to invite you to consider is, what steps are you taking to grow your faith through service? How are you using the unique gifts that God has given you to serve the church and the world? In his book, Dr. Harnish says that every follower of Jesus has been given a gift. That gift, first and foremost, is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and the gift of his love and the gift of salvation that flows through it. The gift of knowing that we are forgiven, the gift of knowing that we are saved and that we belong to Jesus, that we belong to each other in the body of Christ. But more than that, we have each received a gift that we can use in response. We have each received a gift that we can use to say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for saving me, for walking with me on a daily basis. And each gift that each one of us possesses can make a difference in the world, in the church, in the kingdom of God. All these gifts have dignity. All these gifts have worth. All of them are important and valuable. And so if you are someone who is sitting here today and you're saying, well, I think I might have a gift, but it's not as good as Sam's. Or I think I might have a gift, but I could never do what that person does. Or I think I might have a gift, but boy, it's not very well honed. It's not very well harnessed. It's not very well utilized yet. I want you to know that you are not inadequate, that you are not inept, that you are not ill-prepared, that each one of you is called to serve in the name of Jesus and to use the gifts that you have been given you, that have been given to you. I knew a person in my previous church who was a wonderful, wonderful pianist. And she was in her mid-90s when I arrived at that church. And so one of the first things I did was I just wanted to sit down with her and get to know her and hear the story of how she lived her life of faith and how she made it to 95 years old. Her name was Lydia, and the first thing she told me when we sat down in her apartment in the residential care unit where she lived was that she was named after Lydia in the Bible, the woman with the purple cloth. And because she had been given this biblical name, she knew that she was meant to serve God each and every day. And so one of the ways that she served God was by teaching piano to the children in her family, in her neighborhood, in her church, and all throughout the community. And so when you walked into Lydia's apartment, there were two grand pianos, a beta grand and a full grand, and she had the lids up, and so there was almost nothing else in this whole apartment except these grand pianos. She didn't have a TV. She didn't have a coffee table. She had a little armchair where she liked to knit, and then a small dining room table and her bedroom and things. But these grand pianos were her bread and butter. They took up the whole space. And so as I was sitting there with Lydia, she said, "I'd like to play something for you. I'd like to play something for you today." And I said, "Well, goodness, that would be amazing." And she said, "Well, what would you like me to play? I can play anything." And I said, "Well, what do you mean you can play anything? You just want me to tell you a song and you'll play it?" And she said, "Yes, exactly." So I gave her the name of one of my favorite hymns, "Be Thou My Vision." It was a hymn that we sang at my wedding, and it's an important one to me. And she sat down and she played the most beautiful Irish melody of "Be Thou My Vision." Now, a few weeks later, Lydia was in church, and it was a blustery January morning, and our organist, her name was Georgine, wasn't able to make it out of her driveway that morning because it was too slick. There was too much snow, and the plow hadn't been through her neighborhood yet. And so she called me early and she said, "Pastor Aaron, I'm not going to make it to church today. You're going to have to sing a cappella with the congregation." Oh boy. Now, Pastor Aaron doesn't lead music very well. And so when Lydia walked in the door, now I'm not really sure how Lydia at 95 got herself there that morning. We're not going to worry about that. What I'm going to tell you is the rest of the story. Lydia walked in and I said, "I need a favor." And she said, "Anything. What can I do for you?" And I said, I need you to play piano this morning and lead us in worship." And she says, "Okay, tell me what songs you'd like me to play." And she took a few moments and she warmed up her fingers after taking off her gloves and her coat. And she was ready to rock and roll, literally. Lydia had the gift of playing music. She also had a willingness to say yes. She said, "Yes, how can I help you? What do you need? I'll do anything for you." That's the kind of attitude, that's the kind of gift of service that we're talking about today as we talk about disciples' path. Lydia was a woman who had lived her whole life as a disciple of Jesus and who knew the Bible backwards and forwards better than I know it myself. And yet she still wanted to serve. She still wanted to use her gifts in a special way. And she was willing to say yes on that cold, snowy January morning. Now, I do know that there are some folks who aren't as ready to say yes as Lydia. There are some folks who feel inadequate in some ways, who feel inept or ill-prepared to serve. And I want to tell you that if you are a person who feels this way, I want to challenge you to ask for help, because the body of Christ runs like a buddy system where no one is alone, where no one has to act alone, no one has to serve alone. We are united in our call and our mission to serve, and therefore we never need to feel like we're out on our own doing it all by ourselves. We're better together when we work together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And so if you're someone who's not sure how to serve, or if you're someone who's thinks you have a gift but you're not sure about using it in a certain way, ask for help and someone will be at your aid. I want to tell you a story about two incredible women in our congregation, Lynn Loebs and Kim Marola, and the way that they use the buddy system to serve God and the church. Kim and Lynn are members of our congregation, and what they do, what they do is they cook for the youth on Sunday evenings all throughout the year when the youth group is meeting. And then the other thing they do is they give up a week of their summer and they go on the youth group mission trips. And they don't go out on the work site. They don't get up on roofs and crawl into basements and do all kinds of things like that. But they stay back and they make breakfast in the mornings and they pack the sack lunches for the kids to take with them to the work sites. And then they have dinner ready when the kids come home, sweaty and dirty and exhausted from a hard day of serving. Kim and Lynn were invited to do this work when their own children were growing up in our youth group here at St. Paul's. Lynn has two kids and Kim has four grown kids, four boys, whom she says loves to eat. And so she got her gift for cooking by serving her family first. And then it's the gift that keeps on giving because she knows what kids like to eat and she's comfortable preparing it. And so she'll do it all in our church kitchen. Now, the first time that they went on the mission trip, Kim was invited to go by herself. She was invited to go by herself, and she said no three times before she said yes. And the reason she said no is because there were over 50 kids who were going to go on the mission trip, and she didn't want that whole responsibility to fall on her. She knew how exhausting it would be to cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all those kids, and then to sleep in a sleeping bag and wake up early and stay up late. She didn't think she could do it all by herself. And so the way the story goes, she wrangled a friend. She said she wrangled Lynn into helping serve alongside her. And we are better together. We use the buddy system at St. Paul's to serve God and neighbor, to meet the needs of our church and our world. And sometimes we go above and beyond. It's incredible that both Kim and Lynn's kids are all grown up. They've graduated, they're in college or getting married now, and they're still coming every Sunday night to cook supper for the kids and to go on the youth mission trips in the summertime. They could be doing many, many other things, but this is how God has called them to use their gifts, and they have said yes. Making food for people is an incredible act of service, and it's often a very holy thing to do. If you're someone who likes to entertain or host people at your home or cook for them, you know that it's a gift that you can give to others. It turns out it's biblical. Jesus gave his disciples the greatest commandment to love one another through acts of compassion and service at a meal. On Maundy Thursday, he met with his disciples in an upper room, and he shared a meal with them. He shared Holy Communion with them. They broke bread, and they drank wine. And after the meal, Jesus poured a basin of water, and he bent down, and he washed the disciples' feet one by one. This intimate act of being touched by Jesus, of having your feet washed by Jesus with soap and with water and then being dried off with a towel, is unparalleled. It's unlike anything they had ever experienced. I heard a story the other day about a ministry that is modeled after Jesus' greatest commandment and after this intimate act of having your feet washed. The ministry's name is called Laundry Love, and it originated in California, and it has now blown up into this big ministry that is sweeping the nation. There's over 100 churches that are participating in Laundry Love now. And it models what Jesus did for his disciples and demonstrated how everyday Christians are trying to be the hands and feet of the world. I want to show you a video about Laundry Love, and then we'll talk about it.
The story of Laundry Love goes as this. About 13 years ago, there was a group of friends that came upon a homeless man there, and his name was T-Bone. They said, "What would it look like if we came alongside your life? Well, how could we help?" He said that if he had clean clothes, he feels like people would treat him like a human being. So from that sentence grew the idea of Laundry Love.
Imagine how they feel when they're walking into a place completely filthy. I mean, I just know how I feel when I've been in my dirty clothes. Like if I'm under the bridge and I'm serving the homeless people, I was there all day long, dirt, okay? And the sheriffs just roll up and they throw us against the wall and they thought we were homeless. They treated us in this just horrible manner.
The original Laundry Love started 13 years ago in Ventura and is still going today. We started our Laundry Love in Huntington Beach. Service was more important to us than worship space and worship time together. We started doing some homework and finding out, well, what was service going to look like for this small group of friends? It started out as laundry, and we invited people from the community to come get their laundry done.
The Holy Spirit sort of initiated this, the East Hollywood chapter of Laundry Love, coming off of the experience of two other creative communities in the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles. They said, we're going to do service first, and Laundry Love is how we're going to do that.
We found that it was much more easy to invite friends from our lives to a Laundry Love service than it was into some church service. A lot of people would normally darken the door of a church, but can certainly get behind the idea of Laundry Love. When I first got involved in a church community, I found myself saying yes to a lot of ministries that were good, but did not fit me, and nor did that kind of glorify God. So now I find myself in a ministry here that is called Laundry Love that I find endless energy for, and I hope I reproduce it as often as possible.
The homeless community here, the ones we've been serving, I could say we're friends. I see them several times a week. I go down to their encampment now and we make meals, bring clothes.
For me, my faith is lived out in my community. This allows me to make an appointment to be in the community. Every day now in Huntington Beach, I see somebody that I know.
I love it when I can bike or skate or walk down the street and people call me by name and say, hey, how's it going? And we can have a conversation there on the street without the barriers of church walls.
There's nothing to do really but to be present to one another. And it's in that space that those relationships come to be, whether it's someone who comes for a night and you get to hear a little bit of their story, or you really get to know them over a period of years. For a lot of us, it's been a window into activism, because you wind up really being more rooted in the way that you care about social issues that are on the headlines. But it's a different thing when you can think about people who you know well.
Relationships build, and then you go deeper. What is the next need? The next need is a program, housing, counseling. We work with Department of Mental Health now. Almost all of the volunteers are homeless. We let them, serve the food to other homeless people. Everyone out on the street, everyone has a story, and they're worth it. They're still living, they're breathing, and there's still hope for them.
Laundry Love is an incredible ministry that some folks have said yes to. They've said yes to helping to wash clothes and to move clothes from the washer and the dryer and from the dryer to the folding station. They've said yes to giving folks their dignity back so that they can be dressed and clean and fresh for another day of living, whether that's on the streets or going to work or going to school. You saw the smiles on the children's faces. You saw the need that was evident in that place in California. And you can imagine the need all over our country to be warm and clean and dry 7 days a week. I know how much laundry happens in my household, in a household with two adults and one child. And I can only imagine what it would take to move the clothes from our hampers, not just to the basement where the washer and dryer is, but across town to the laundromat, to have that be an extra errand, an extra chore every week. I'm grateful that there are folks who are willing to use their gifts, who are willing to use their time and their energy and their resources to make this ministry happen for others. Reverend Jim Harnish in his book says that each gift is an invitation and provides the means to participate in the work of Jesus. Just as Jesus washed the disciples' feet on a Thursday evening, these folks are showing Jesus to others in their community by helping them wash their clothes. Such a simple act of service that means so much. I wonder, how are you taking steps? Maybe they're simple, easy, no-brainer steps in your daily life to serve Jesus, to serve the church, to serve the world. And how are those steps that you're taking, one after another, helping you to grow in your faith? I want to share one more story with you, and that is a story that came from this week. On Wednesday evening, I went down into the city of Detroit to help my friend, Pastor John Reynolds, with his first service at Cass Community Social Services. Pastor John Reynolds was my predecessor here at the Open Door, helped get everything up and running, and then left to say yes to a call to start a new church in the city of Detroit, in Midtown, where there's a lot of young people, new energy, new creativity starting up. On Wednesday night, he had his first service, his very first service there. There were 68 people in attendance. It was the most diverse church crowd I had ever seen. There were adults who drove in with BMWs and suits on straight after work. There were homeless people. There were adults with developmental disabilities. There were men and women and children from all different walks of life in this little space. And Pastor John, he kind of sent out the bat signal earlier in the day, and he said, "I know the people are coming, but I'm a little worried that my help isn't going to be enough." And so he called his friends, he called his colleagues, he called some folks that he knew he could lean on and boss around a little bit. And I was one of those people. I said, "John, I'm here. I'll say yes to whatever you need me to do." We arrived early, and he gave us our job assignments. John was the preacher. He was going to serve communion. He was going to lead the service. He had musicians on staff. He had poets. He had parking lot volunteers. He had a group of people praying in the back room the whole time while the service was happening. Lots of different people were using their gifts in the ways that they had been called to do so that evening. There was a lady who made 6 dozen cookies from scratch that day, and they were still warm when the service started. There was a team of construction workers who had been working in the building all day to make sure that the lights were all going to work, that all the toilets were going to flush, that the floor had been swept, and that the dust along the baseboards of this space that had been just refurbished was picked up. The job that Pastor John gave to me was to go out and direct traffic. Do I look like a traffic director to you? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So he gave me a red vest, one of those fluorescent highlighter vests that reflect the light and everything. And I put that on over my fall jacket, and then he gave me this baton. Oh boy, that was my favorite part, I have to tell you. It lit up like a lightsaber, you guys. And so I'm out there like, zoom, 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 directing the traffic. And cars were coming in, and there was really a lot of attention because I looked like a nut job wearing this outfit. And I was waving it around, having a lot of fun with it. But when it got right down to business, there were a lot of people downtown in Detroit who were looking for parking. And so some of them would roll up, and they'd have a $20 bill in their hands, and they'd want to park there. And I'd say, oh, are you here for the church service? Are you here for Pastor John and Cass Community United Methodist Church? They'd say, no, I'm trying to go here to this bar. And I said, oh, this isn't public parking. This is a church thing. This is a new church thing. But you're welcome. You're welcome to come in. And so as we got all the folks who wanted to be there in the lot, I'm double parking people, because there was a lot of people and it was a small lot. I was following directions, double parking them. But I'm waving this baton and I'm getting the hang of everything. And then the folks on foot started to arrive. The parking lot was full, and so I closed the gate to signal that it was full and that we didn't have any more room. And the folks on foot started to arrive. The students from Wayne State University with their backpacks still on. The homeless folks in the neighborhood who lived on the corner in a sleeping bag. The folks who had met Pastor John and heard about what he was up to and were local business owners, so they closed their shop early and came to check out the service. I still used my baton to wave them in and welcome them, and I walked them to the front door, and I used the words that John had given me, "Welcome, you're so glad you're here." Pastor John assigned this task to me because even though I'm not a great parking lot supervisor or attendant or directional person, one thing he does know about me is that I have the gift of talking to people. I'll go up to anybody at any time and talk about anything. You just let me know that I can smile and wave, and I'll do that. One of the men that I approached in his vehicle, he was coming into park, and he drove a big black truck. And I'm standing on my tippy toes, and I'm peering into his window like this. And I say, "Hi, hi, welcome to Cass. So glad you're here." And he rolls down his window and gives me this million-dollar smile. And he greets me, and he says, "I'm here for the service. Is this the right place?" And he winked at me. I thought that was kind of weird. But I greeted him anyway. I said, "Yeah, my name's Aaron. We're so glad you're here. You can park this way and then just go in this door here and they'll get started in a few moments." And he said, "Thank you so much." I gave him the whole spiel about how this is a service of Cass Community Social Services and God's doing a new thing in this neighborhood and my friend John Reynolds is leading the service. And welcome, welcome, welcome. After the service, I found out that he's the facilities director at Cass Community United Methodist Church. He's been working there for 25 years. He has keys to the building and the gate that I had to close. The vest that I was wearing and the baton belonged in his office. And he thought I was just the cutest little thing out in the parking lot. But he was grateful that on that night I was doing his job so that he could be there to worship, to support his pastor, to do something else and say yes to something else in the name of serving Jesus. I have to tell you that I love sharing that story. I have a big smile on my face and a lot of adrenaline pumping through me right now because serving is something that makes my heart sing. Serving God and neighbor is what I am made to do. It's what I'm called to do. It's what I love to do. It brings me a lot of joy and a lot of satisfaction. And so today, as you reflect on the ways in which you are called to serve, the gifts that you have been given and how you can employ them in service, I want you to ask, does it make your heart sing? Does it bring you joy? Does it bring you satisfaction? Does it make you excited to get out of bed in the morning and go? As you ask these questions, May you discover and name your strengths. May you find accountability partners who can help you discern where to serve and use your gifts. And may you use your gifts to serve God and the church. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, you are good to us, and you give us so many gifts and opportunities and invitations to serve you. We're grateful, O God, for the way you sent your Son Jesus into our lives as an example, as the one whom we can follow in our daily lives. May we lean into our relationship with Jesus and the strength and the motivation that he provides. And may we say yes to serving you, the church, and the world, just as Jesus did, each and every day. Amen.